Hey, what's up, everybody? Tonight on the show, we're talking a little UFC 273 coming up next weekend in Jacksonville. We also have fights from last weekend that we're going to recap. UFC Columbus, Nate Diaz requesting his release from the UFC, and how to defend yourself against Will Smith.
Let's go!
You know, that's important these days, right? It's important.
Classy,
you need
man.
To know how to defend yourself against Will Smith or a Will Smith-style attack. You must be aware. And if there's anybody that knows about how to defend yourself, it's AJ and myself. What's up, everybody? It's Ringside Report MMA. We're here to talk about violence. We're here to talk about fights. We're here to talk about not getting slapped like a punk at the Oscars. What's up, AJ?
Man, who would have thought at this point, like in this show, Ringside Report, 5 years ago, I brought up the Paul brothers, the Logan brothers, I should say. That was like, get the fuck out of here. People are going to forget about it. Bringing up the Oscars years ago is unheard of. And here we are, man, today, 2022. What is it today? What's the date today? It's the 31st. Tomorrow's April Fool's Day. It's a perfect day to bring out the fool talk. We're talking about the Oscars. We talked about Jake Paul. I mean, what the hell is going on with this world?
I don't know.
What is with that bitch slap? That's the Stockton slap, man. He got from the Diaz brothers.
Yeah, I mean, except the Diaz brothers do it in MMA fights when the guys see it coming, you know. Or, I mean, they don't see it coming all the time, but at least they have a fighting chance. Poor Chris Rock just getting assaulted on that Oscar stage. And, yeah, we got to talk about it because what the hell, man? There's no UFC going on this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about UFC 273. I'm going to give you an early parlay if you want to get your bets done early. I'm going to give you an early parlay for UFC 273 taking place next weekend, April the 9th in Las Vegas. And I do expect us to do a watch-along for that, AJ, UFC 273. This weekend is WrestleMania, so the UFC is taking a weekend off. Next weekend, they've got a big show in Jacksonville. Not Vegas, Jacksonville. Feels like a show that should be in Vegas. You got two titles on the line, but they're in Florida for this one. Alexander Volkanovski against Chan Sung Jung. And Piotr Jan against Aljamain Sterling in the rematch. We also got Khamzat. Khamzat time. He'll take on Gilbert Burns. I'm hyped about this fight more than any other fight on this card. Khamzat and Gilbert Burns. Because now we get to know, you know, how real is this guy? How real is Khamzat? If he crushes Gilbert Burns like he crushed Li Jinglang and Gerald Meerschaert, then you say, oh, my God, this guy's the next champion. There's no doubt. He might even come into a fight with Usman as the favorite. Like, if he goes through Gilbert Burns in, like, a couple of minutes, he hasn't gone out of the first round in his past three fights. None of his fights have ever gone out of the second round. Ever. He finishes
crazy,
everybody
man.
With submissions and knockouts. Khamzat Chimaev is only 10-0, though, but people are already calling him one of the next ones, one of the next kings, 27 years old.
Crazy, man. Listen.
Is he the guy? And next week, we get to find out. You know what I mean? Like, Li Jinglang, it was a fight, but it wasn't a test. This is a test. If Khamzat can beat Gilbert Burns next week, and not just beat him, but beat him the same way he's been beating everybody else, my God. But if he doesn't, then, you know, the hype kind of slows down. And if Gilbert Burns beats him, which is possible because, you know, let's be real, Khamzat has never faced anybody like Gilbert Burns. He's never fought anybody professionally as good as Gilbert Burns, but still coming in as the favorite, pretty heavy favorite next week. And I think Khamzat's not only going to be able to beat Gilbert Burns next week, but I think he's going to be able to do the same thing he's been doing to everybody else. It's kind of crazy.
Smacking the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Listen to this, Dave. You know what I found out stat-wise? I mean, you're right about one thing. This is a massive step up in competition, because if you really break it down, out of those four fights, those guys are not on the top 10. So you can say what you want. It's like Jiang Ling, whatever his name is. He's a good fighter, but he's not like a Burns.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the big test. And you know what the crazy part is that we don't really know how Khamzat is going to react to like really like a heavy barrage of shots and whatnot. Because if Burns starts dropping some big bombs, we're really going to see if Khamzat can take it. Because you're right. The guy in four fights, he only has got hit once. That's the crazy part about this. In four fights, the man has only been hit once by a significant strike. That is incredible. But it also speaks volumes too, because that means that we don't really know if he could take a barrage of shots. Burns is not – look, Burns has amazing striking power. There's no doubt about it. We saw that with Usman. The guy has power. He can fight. I mean, he's predominantly a jiu-jitsu champion. He's a grappler. This guy comes to the ground, he's going to mess you up.
He's but very good.
Too, man.
Yeah.
He's very good.
I mean, look at Gilbert Burns. Look at Gilbert Burns and who he's beat in the UFC. In a row here.
Massive.
I'm talking about in succession. Olivier Aubin, Mike Davis, Alexei Kinchenko, Gunnar Nelson, Damian Maya, Tyron Woodley. Then he lost to Kamaru Usman. Then he beat Wonderboy. And he beat Wonderboy pretty convincingly, too. Not many people do that to Wonderboy. And Wonderboy is elite. You know, so this is a big shot up the ranks. Usually guys that are 10-0 that just come off a fight with Li Jinglang, who are 3 or 4-0 in the UFC, they don't fight a guy like Gilbert Burns. But because of the hype and because of how impressive he is and how everybody's talking about him, Khamzat Chimaev is in that position next week, and I'm excited. Because we can see a star.
It's gonna be insane.
We can see a star. He's either going to do what he does and smash, and then, you know, you have to put him against Usman, or, you know, he's not who we thought he was. But I really do think that he is that guy. I think he is. I think he beats Gilbert Burns within the first two rounds. I think he beats him quicker than Usman did. Usman finished him in the third. I think that Gilbert Burns, just like the rest, will not get out of the second round. This guy will not get past 10 minutes with Khamzat.
Crazy, man. I mean, it's possible. And that's the scary part about it. Like I said, the man's only been hit once in four fights. I don't know any other fighter that has a stat like that. That's ridiculous. But again, you know, we'll see how, like I said, if he can stop Burns, like if Burns starts throwing some bombs and they start landing and Khamzat is able to walk away from it and just continue, the guy is going to be like the champion by the end of the year. There's no doubt about it. We called that actually at the beginning of the year. We said that Khamzat would be one of the champions in our picks before the end of 2022. But again, this is a massive step up to the game. If he could come in, man, and really outwork Burns, out-grapple Burns, and outstrike Burns in the first two rounds, dude, this is going to be insane, man. There's no question, man. This guy is the poster boy for the UFC. Like, you know, Dana White has, like, serious money on Khamzat. A lot of people do. And you know what? I wasn't so sure when he came back from his, like, COVID times. And I'm like, I don't know, Khamzat, man. I'm not sure if he's going to perform like he did prior COVID and whatnot. Man, did he shock me. He only got better. And it doesn't make sense. So this guy here is, like, people could say, oh, yeah, he didn't fight anybody, like, you know, in the top 10. That's true. He didn't fight anybody in the top 10.
Yeah.
But anybody who's coming through the ranks has to fight anybody on the top 50 at that point. And if that's the guy that's in front of you, that's the guy you're going to fight. And the thing with Khamzat is he comes in and performs. And again, think about it. In over 30 minutes of combat with elite fighters, even if they're not on the top 10, they're on the top 20 in the world. The guy's only been hit once. How good is this guy? How good is his defense?
True?
Yeah, one significant strike in four fights. That is ridiculous.
Wow.
And that's what I'm trying to say is that, you know, Jian Ling there likes to throw. We know that. We've seen him in his fights.
Yeah, he
can connect. He couldn't touch him. And he's fast. He's got those lanky arms, man. He can throw from every angle. He's like very unorthodox in his fighting.
Yeah.
And he couldn't hit Khamzat. Like, That is scary, man. And like, if you look at it overall, man, Khamzat is kind of like a Khabib wrestler on top of it all. Like, this guy's a chain wrestler. Every move is just linking it till the chain closes and it's done. He just doesn't let go of you. And that's the scary part. Stand up, ground. If he could really, really destroy Burns, man.
Yeah. He does have the makings of a guy who you see and you think, well, if he is that good and if he can do all these things at the highest level, we might be talking about the best ever right now. You know, like, we might be watching the best fighter ever ascend. And that's what's cool about MMA. Like, you never know who's going to come out and be this superstar, you know? Look at Paddy Pimblett. Look at Khamzat Chimaev. You know, there's stars just popping out all over the place.
Whoa-ho!
Whoa! It's exciting. Whoa-ho! You know, it's exciting. Thank you, Patrick. Always appreciate Patrick. Sorry, HA. I just want to give a shout-out to Patrick C. Hamilton. He says, give me another Pena. He wants another Pena pick. And Patrick, I'm going to give you another Pena, and you might be surprised by this, but it's Pena. My other Pena for you, Patrick, will be Juliana Pena to beat Amanda Nunes. Now, this isn't a replay show. This isn't a rerun, but they're going to fight again, and Juliana will be the underdog again. She won't be as big of an underdog as she was last time, but she will be the underdog going into this fight. I know that there are odds on the fight already, and she is the underdog, but she will win. She will definitely beat Amanda Nunes because, like I said after the fight, Amanda Nunes is done. Amanda Nunes is done being a top-level MMA fighter. Amanda Nunes is done being a championship-level MMA fighter. She was the best ever. Her time has come. George St. Pierre said it recently. Not a lot of people retire. They let the sport retire them. And Amanda Nunes has let the sport retire her. She leaves American Top Team after the biggest loss of her career. She leaves one of the biggest gyms in the world to start her own gym. That sounds like a retirement plan for me. Doesn't sound like somebody who's determined to get her belt back. Amanda Nunes will lose to Juliana Pena again. Cannot tell you enough times because it's going to happen, and I'm going to look like a genius again, although less of a genius because it seems obvious to me, but holy shit, I'm seeing odds right now. Certain places, Juliana plus 700. I'm seeing one that makes more sense, plus 275. But I don't know. Apparently at some sports books, you know, because the event hasn't been announced yet, but they are fighting again because they're coaching the Ultimate Fighter against each other. And if Juliana Pena comes in and fights Amanda Nunes, bet on Juliana Pena because she's the underdog and she will win. Just like I told you last time, it's going to happen again. Juliana has her number. Amanda is done at the top level. And you can call me crazy, and that's fine. The whole MMA world called me crazy, but who was crazy at the end of the night? Everybody but Dave.
You're just as crazy as Will Smith, man, but you delivered. That's the thing. And the crazy part about all that is that I thought you were a madman. Like, I can go back on that show, and I'm like, nah, Dave, you're completely nuts. You're crazy. And if you look at the first round of that fight, Amanda was mauling her. It was a 10-8 round easily.
She got tired.
It should have been a 10-7 round.
She tired herself out chasing the finish. She didn't have it.
But listen, man, coming out of that first round, there was no way Amanda was losing. She was smiling. She was mauling her. Came into the second. I don't know what the hell happened, if she gassed out or something happened, like, physically. But I'm still not convinced that Amanda's going to lose on the second one. And I don't want to go against you, Dave, because you were the genius. You called it out. In fact, I got to give you credit where credit is due, because you were the only guy. And I listened to a lot of shows and fighters and you know, bookmakers and, you know, you name it. I listened to everybody. And not one of them went against Amanda, including myself and Freddie. And you pulled it off. And you said that weeks before that fight was going to happen. You said
months.
There was going to be a major upset.
Yep.
Yeah, you did, actually. You said it was going to be a major upset, and it did happen. After that first round, I was like, ah, Dave's done. And then all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, we got a new champion, and that was crazy. And I'm not going to go against you. Like, right now, if I have to put my money down, I still want to go with Amanda. But listen to this.
Let's go!
Wait, me and Freddie are still on the Amanda train. But the thing is that the closer it gets
to that train,
man, you know what? Listen, I'm still listening to what you said, and I'm listening to you. I'm listening to your stats. I'm listening to everything. And the closer we get to the fight, I'm going to make that final decision.
Yeah,
if it favors
towards
Penna, I'm going to go with that. But you know what? The thing is that you have doubt in me, and that's the thing, man, because I had no doubt that Amanda was going to win that fight. And after the first round, I was sitting back and I'm like, ooh, show me the money, man. And then boom.
And then what
You
happened?
Pulled it off. And I'm like,
yeah, that's right.
And then I was like, oh man, Dave will never hear the end of this, man. We'll never hear the end of like this win. But
nope,
look,
never.
Man,
you still won't.
Listen, it's.
And she's going to do it again. And the best part about it is when she does it again. Because I'm still going to tell you guys, months out, and Patrick C. Hamilton, thank you, Patrick, dropping a 777. You're the Super Chat leader. He says, when can I place the bet? You cannot place the bet yet because the contract has not been signed. There's no fight that's been announced. So at bet99.com, you cannot place the bet yet. When the fight is announced and the event draws closer, you'll be able to place that bet. And don't worry, Juliana will still be the underdog, and we will still cash in a big time when she beats Amanda again. And I love it. It's going to be even better when she does it again, because I told you the first time, you didn't believe me, and she cashes in. Second time, I'm going to put more money. I'm more confident we're going to win even bigger the next time. The next time Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes fight, we're striking it rich, baby. We're going for broke. We're going all in. Chips down, everything in. We're putting the money down, and we are getting rich. I'm buying a house, and I'm calling it Juliana Pena Manor, okay? Pena Mansion,
all right? Villa
Pena. I'm buying Pena Mansion with my Juliana Pena winnings. That's how much money we're going
to
put down on Pena and how much she's going
to
cash
Playboy
in.
Mansion. It didn't work.
Yeah. We are going to destroy on that fight. I cannot wait. And everybody's going to say, oh, Nunes. And you and Fred are going to say, Nunes. And then I'm going to tell you so many things about why you're wrong. And then the fight will happen, and you'll be wrong. And me and Patrick are going to be rich. Rich.
Well, just invite us to the barbecue at least, man, or the housewarming party, man.
No, just for me and Patrick. Only for true believers.
What?
Only for the believers.
Listen,
right.
Man, look, Juliana, you know what? I'll be honest. Listen, if people would have put down money the months, I'd say about 6 weeks prior, even maybe eight, you did say that it was going to be the upset. You didn't want to say what. You just said there's going to be the upset of the year, and I'm going to tell you soon. Obviously, it was that. But if you would have put down money 6 weeks prior to that fight, holy shit, the payout.
It didn't matter.
Ridiculous.
AJ, you could have put money down an hour before the fight. The payout was ridiculous. She was plus 700 going into that. It was crazy.
No, you're right.
She was
a huge dog.
She's going to be a huge dog again going into this next one, and it is baffling. Name me one champion in the history of the UFC that got just demolished first time around, and then second time around, they came back and won. I mean, I can name you a couple examples. It does happen.
Randy Couture, maybe?
But long-reigning champions, like champions that have held the belt for a long time and had a run with the belt. You know, a couple of years with the belt, and then they lose the belt, and then they come back against the person that beat them, and they beat them in the rematch. I mean, I could think of nobody. Cain Velasquez, when he lost to Junior Dos Santos the first time, wasn't really a long reigning champion. He came back and he beat him. You can say George St. Pierre, right? But George St. Pierre wasn't a long reigning champion. I think the Serra defense was his first title defense, right? He'd never defended and he lost the belt right away. And then he came back and he beat Serra in the rematch. But that was like a fluky type of thing. George didn't know how to be a champion. He wasn't defending. He wasn't like that. People that defend the belt for years and then lose it to somebody very, 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 very rarely, if not never, get it back from that same person. Find me an example of a long reigning champion. Like Anderson Silva, when he lost to Chris Weidman, you thought, oh, he was playing around. He wasn't taking it
seriously. Which
he was. You know, and that's why he got knocked out. In the rematch, I thought Anderson would win. Dead wrong.
So
I was dead wrong.
Everybody
because
was,
you
dude.
Don't you don't get that fire back. It doesn't come back.
And he was winning against Weidman in that fight. He was like
the first fight.
He was winning, man.
Not the second fight.
Yeah, he was winning.
Second fight, he was getting pieced up. Not only was Anderson like, you know, the leg break and that's how he lost the fight, but he was getting beat up by Chris Weidman on the feet. He was getting outstruck by Weidman, and it was apparent, like, oh no, it's not that Anderson was playing around. He was playing around, but he also can't beat this guy. He just couldn't.
But it was weird, man. It just doesn't make sense. I think, I don't know if it was a mental thing or whatnot, but it wasn't the same Anderson Silva in that second fight. And then what happened after that was like, we'll never forget it. It's still scarred in my memory.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, is that the first fight against Weidman, he was doing everything he should be doing, Anderson style. And then you know what? He's monkeying around. And we've seen that a lot with some fighters, and it backfires most of the time. But look, you know, there's not too many guys. George is a good example. The only thing with George, when he lost to Sierra, and I'm not saying this for a fact, but George was, instead of training, which George trains religiously. I mean,
that's
when
not
he's
the point.
Sleeping,
AJ, that's
but
not
listen,
the point
the thing,
of what happened in the Sierra fight and why George lost. The point is he wasn't
well,
a long reigning champion going into the fight. Right?
True.
We're not talking about George and why he lost to Sierra. I don't give a fuck about that fight. It happened years ago, and it is what it is. I'm talking about Amanda Nunes and Juliana Pena and why Amanda Nunes won't get that belt back. She won't.
Man, I find that hard
tell
to
me
swallow.
She will.
Like, hard to
tell
believe.
Me she will. Look, BJ Penn, long reigning champion, champion for years, lost to Frankie Edgar. Everybody thought it was a fluke. It wasn't. Frankie beat him again. Beat him again. Wasn't it Benson Henderson too? Beat Frankie. Everybody thought it was a fluke. Did it again. Benson beat him again. No fluke. Torch was passed. Point final.
Yep.
That's it. You know what I mean? It's over.
Every dog has his day, man. You're right about that.
Exactly.
You know what?
And Nunes' day is done. She's as
the only
done as Jada's hairline. Done. Non-existent.
Alopecia. Alopecia. Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
I'm going to open a pizza shop called Alopecia, and my logo is going to be Jada's head.
Well, actually, listen. In fact, one of our sponsors from the past was Alto Pizza. So, Alto, man, don't forget.
Alopecia. Get it? That's not a good look for your pizza. There's like hairs in your pizza. It's like, what's going on here? All our people have alopecia. Don't you get it? It's a play on words.
Listen, I have alopecia. Do I, like, fucking get upset? No.
You don't have alopecia. Like, you're just bald, bro. It's different.
Don't burn my parade, man. Listen, look, you said a couple of things. I was going to bring up a couple of things with George and alopecia and all that kind of stuff. I was
no,
just
that's
say,
okay. Let's
you...
not. Let's not talk
Come
about
on.
George and alopecia. I don't know what
no,
the
I was
connection
gonna say,
is.
George,
but...
No, George. I was going to say the thing is that all this crazy shit that's going on, even George has had problems this week. He's had, like, stalkers, okay, visiting his parents' house and asking
what?
For George. I swear, man. Like, we have stalkers going to visit George's parents' house. And, you know, George's parents are, like, super nice. They'll invite you in for some, like, you know, in Bon Cafe in, you know,
and what happened?
I don't know. So they're looking for George. The parents are telling him that they're not here and whatnot. And George is like, you know what? It's like, think about it. Do you think George is still going to be living with his parents at whatever age he is, 40 years old? George St. Pierre has more money than, like, than most MMA fighters. Come on, man. But there is a problem. So we got stalkers, we've got slappers, we've got streakers, and we've got, like, guys that are just coming out of court, like Chael Sonnen, man. It's been a crazy week. And George is having his problems too, man. It never ends. People don't forget champions. But I was going to get back to one thing. There's only one guy that didn't have his dog day, and there's only one guy. And that guy was the smartest of all. Unfortunately, I wanted to see him continue to fight.
What the hell are
you talking
about?
That's our buddy. I'm talking about Khabib, man. Khabib was smart enough to walk away, and no one can dispute. Like, he never had that day where we saw Khabib lose. And that's what I'm saying. He's the only guy. We saw George lose. He came back and won. But only Khabib knew that eventually he's going to have his dog day. Every fighter has his day. But
yeah,
Khabib still had
Khabib
more dog
Khabib and George
in that
were
fight,
smart.
You know,
they walked,
sure,
they're
but,
the only two that walked away
yeah,
when
George,
it was time.
Yeah, George, yeah. True. George could have still kept fighting for many more years. I mean, even now, as we speak today, George is in top physical shape, man. He could go five rounds with anybody, like, right now. But, you know, you got to also know, man, that there's a time when there's more than just you can't do it, but it's the physical, the mental damage, you know, like the brain trauma. Like, there's all kinds of factors. Like, and we can see that in, like, wrestling, man. I watch, like, Dark Side of the Ring, like, over and over now. It's like I'm, like, stuck to watching a lot of these episodes. And, man, like, there is a lot of trauma that happens. There's times when you got to walk out. And I think Anderson Silva, maybe that was a good thing for him. Mind you, he kept going for a couple more years now. But it's not like he was fighting heavy fights like he did in the past. You know what I'm saying? When he came back, man, he wasn't the same Anderson. He wasn't engaging as much. I just think that overall, Khabib was the best to step away. I agree with you with George stepping away.
Sometimes you got to step away, right? Sometimes you got to walk away. Just and that's what happened with
Chris
Amanda.
Rock.
She stayed. I think she's overstayed her welcome in MMA. And people cannot like it, and that's fine. And they could be mad, and they can say, oh, Dave's obnoxious, and he's getting all that.
You,
well, you know what? I'm right, okay? I don't
you
give a shit what you fucking think about it. I'm correct. And I'm making people money. People that support this show and people that follow this show make money because I am goddamn correct. It's like I told you Sarah McMahon was going to win last week, underdog pick of the week. She won again, making more money for the Ringside Report team.
Hey, man, I didn't do too shabby either, man. My fight parlay win, man.
I mean, you didn't
win. Freddie did, you know.
Nobody won their parlays.
Look, but I'm going to give you credit. You might have a point there. I think maybe Amanda is at the tail end of her career.
Yeah, man.
Maybe the next fight. I think you're right. Because when it comes to this point, this is when these champions can lose. And she's already lost. For her to regain that title, statistically, it probably won't happen. You know? But I just can't get that first round out of my head, man.
Oh.
You know?
So now it probably won't happen. A couple minutes ago, you were like, she's going to win. Now you're like, she's not going to win.
No, you made me think about that.
That's right.
You are convincing me. But I'm going to wait until it gets closer to the fight time.
Fighting is all trends, man. You know? It's all trends. It's all like, what do careers look like for fighters? And what's reasonable to expect from a fighter? That's really all it is. Like, the more I watch fighting and the more I see champions and the ups and downs, the more it's like, okay, well, there's a peak and then there's the valley. And that's really all there is. You just got to watch to see, you know, how they're climbing and then figure out when the valley's going to hit. And that's really all it is. It's trends. Every champion is basically the same. They're all different in a variety of ways. But a lot of the champions in the UFC, if you really look at what they do and how they've done it, on paper, it's the same. A lot of wins. I mean, this is kind of obvious when talking about world champions. But, you know, very few losses. You don't see guys lose 4, 5, 6 fights earlier in their career and then come on later on to become champions. There are exceptions. There's the Robbie Lawlers. There's even Rafael Dos Anjos, who lost a few before winning the belt. There are exceptions, but for the most part, especially the great long-reigning champions, very few of them become champion after losing more than, say, 2 fights. Right? And that's kind of how, you know, you got to look at it. Is this person championship material? If they've lost 3 fights in their career, are they going to be able to turn it around and win the fights when they really count? You know, like if you lose a fight to some guy you fought in your 5th pro fight, how are you going to be in your 15th pro fight when you're fighting a top 5 in the world? You know, it's... You got to be consistent, and most top-level fighters, you can kind of see how they operate. Let's get to UFC 273 real quick. I want to give you an early parlay. UFC 273 is next weekend. I'm going to give you an early main card parlay just to give you a taste. Just to give you a taste if you want to place a bet. Although this parlay I'm going to give you might not be that great.
Are you giving the main card or prelims?
I'm going to give a main card parlay real quick.
Wow. Okay.
Real quick,
so with
just,
the prelims.
Just while we're on the subject of UFC 273, Angelo wanted to know where Freddie is. Freddie's
he's with Chris Rock.
He's with Chris Rock tonight, and they're consoling each other. No, Freddie couldn't be here tonight. He's with his kids. He has a family.
I thought you were gonna say Freddie was. I thought you were gonna say Freddie was showing him like some jiu-jitsu moves. You
yeah,
know,
Freddie's teaching Chris Rock how to defend himself like a tough guy and stop being such a weakling. Anyways, this is the Team Dave parlay for next week. Okay, I'm gonna give you a little teaser for next week. I'm going with Volkanovski in the main event. I think he beats Chan Sung Jung as a lock, 100% guaranteed. I'm also going with Piotr Jan. He was well on his way to beating Aljamain Sterling last time they fought. I see no reason why not to go with Piotr Jan here in this fight. I'm also going with Khamzat Chimaev. I think he beats Gilbert Burns. And the fight to make it worthwhile, we're going to go with Mackenzie Dern over Tisha Torres, minus 117. Why are you booing me? You like Mackenzie Dern.
Oh, you okay? I thought you went with Torres, man.
Oh my
okay,
God.
Sorry, Dave. I apologize.
So it's a four-fight parlay for UFC 273. If you want to get it early, the odds might change next week, so you can get my parlay early. It's a plus 203 parlay. $20 wins you 60. It's a four-fight parlay. Three big favorites and one little bitty favorite, Mackenzie Dern. I think all those fighters will come through next week. Everybody wins. Everybody wins.
Man, you know what, Dave? I like that. I like those picks, man.
Of course
and,
you do.
But the thing is, between now and next week, man, this card has changed like more times than like, you know, I was going to say like AJ's underwear. But you know what? You know, if you look a little bit further, you look at Olenek versus Latifi. I mean, that's going to be like
Vandera.
A weird fight. You got Gastelum
Vandera.
Against...
Vandera!
Huh?
Olenek is now fighting Jared Vandera. Latifi's hurt, I think.
He's out, too. Okay, he's there's out. Another one out. So on top of it also, okay, so that'll be... I'll figure out by next week. But I want to give you my prelims if they haven't changed my yet.
Okay. What do you got?
So let me just double check.
AJ's prelim parlay for UFC 273.
Let me just make sure here.
Don't make sure. Just give me the goods.
You want the goods, man? Well, so far on the card, which things might change by next week. So I'm going to be starting off with my prelim picks for this week. Next week, I'll give you my main card. And I like Dave's picks. I like them a lot. But here we go. So let's go with the prelim card here.
Come on, AJ.
I'm going to go with Pennington to beat Aspen. I think that's going to be a really tough fight for Aspen.
I don't know about that. Okay.
Oh, I think so, Dave. I think so, man. There's no way that she can handle like Pennington's like striking power.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go with Pennington on that. And then I'm going to go with the next hot star for the UFC. This kid is amazing, man. I've seen this guy fight. He's another like top prospect coming out of like Dublin, Ireland. This guy is unbelievable. I believe he's one of Conor's guys. It's Ian Garry. So keep that name in mind, Ian Garry. So I believe he's going to beat Darian Weeks. And if he's going to beat him, you could put him down for like a KO, TKO. That's how that's going to go down. Then I'm going to go down to the next one to Anthony Hernandez, who's still on that fight. So I see Anthony Hernandez winning. If he could win by any way, this guy, man, when it comes to grappling, he's a specialist. Look, I'm taking him for the win. But if I see him winning by any way, shape, or form, it'll be by submission.
Right.
Then, which I'm kind of surprised, we've got Jairzinho at the bottom of this prelim card.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, man. You got a guy like Jairzinho. He should be like the main card or the main event on the prelim card. Not to take away from Aspen or Raquel, but let's be honest, man. Jairzinho's a bigger name, and Marcin Tybura is like a pretty decent name in the UFC. Anyways, all to say is that this is going to be a hard one to call, you know, but... If Jairzinho puts his hand, I've never seen bigger hands in the UFC. There's no one, I don't care who it is, man. Ngannou, Cyril Gane, I don't care who it is, Brock Lesnar. Jairzinho has hands, man, of a Sasquatch. But it doesn't win all the time. Mind you, he's 12-3. But I have, my pick is going for Jairzinho on this.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Then I'm not going to end there,
And Jairzinho only minus 150, the favorite right now, I think is very good value for Jairzinho in that fight.
Yeah. I mean, anything could happen with Tybura. Tybura could put your lights out.
But
I don't know if he has...
No.
if he's going to be
able
to.
Doesn't have the
defend. Yeah, to defend Jairzinho, because when Jairzinho starts throwing those power punches, man, there's sledgehammers coming at all angles, man. He's going for the knockout. He's not going for points. He wants to put you down flat on the canvas.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue with another one, and this is Mike Mallett to beat Mickey Gall. I think Mike Mallett coming in, man, is going to be a better striker. I like Mickey Gall, but Mickey Gall, honestly, everybody knows him because of the CM Punk. Other than that, man, he's a good fighter. He's an okay fighter, but this Mickey Mallett, man, I've seen him fighting. He's impressive. So I'm going to go with him, man, Mickey Mallett.
So there's the and AJ parlay. Let's give you an AJ UFC 273
prelim
this parlay. The prelim parlay before the preview next week. We're going to give you a little taste. Raquel Pennington, Ian Garry, Anthony Hernandez, Jairzinho, Mike Mallett, 10. No, let's give him 20. 20 gets you 150. 20 gets you 150.
Nice. That's
over
a good
at bet99.com. Use that promo code ringside when you sign up. So there it is.
You know what, Dave? I really like my picks there, man. Those ones there,
I would hope.
I'm pretty confident, man. I feel good with them.
Good. I was confident with the Sarah McMahon pick last week. She was our underdog, best underdog pick of the week, and she came through with a nice win over Carol Rosa. Did not think Rosa was going to be able to defend those takedowns, and the first two rounds were all Sarah McMahon, and she did enough to beat Carol Rosa last week. Impressive stuff from Curtis Blaydes in the main event, knocking out Chris Daukaus. My God, what a punch from Curtis Blaydes. No takedown attempts, just knockout style, and he wanted a interim title fight. He was talking about fighting Cyril Gane or maybe Stipe. So there's talk of an interim title fight with Francis Ngannou out with an injury and possible contract issues keeping him out for a while. We'll see what happens.
Get Stipe.
What's the interim title fight? Is it Blaydes and Stipe, or is it Gane and Stipe, or is it John Jones and Stipe?
It's weird, man.
Is it John Jones and Blaydes?
Well, John Jones is not even like in talks, but the only talks right now, like even Daniel Cormier is like saying that fight, which makes a lot of sense, is Blaydes versus Miocic, which kind of makes sense to me too. But
okay, but wasn't that weird? Didn't that feel like a UFC play? Like Blaydes was interviewed by Daniel Cormier after the fight, and he's like, "Who do you want to fight next, Blaydes?" And Blaydes goes, "I think Cyril Gane for the interim title makes sense. I'd like to fight Cyril Gane." And then Daniel Cormier is like, "Oh, but Stipe's right there. Don't you want to fight him?" And he's like, "Well, I respect Stipe. I like him and all. So, you know, sure, I guess." You know what I mean? Like
this way, bud, this way.
Yeah. And then somebody obviously smartened him up and was like, "Hey, we're trying to get you to fight Stipe for an interim title. Maybe talk about Stipe." It really seemed like the UFC setting that one up. Where Blaydes was like, "Yeah, Cyril Gane," and then Daniel Cormier is like, no, shut up, man, shut up. There's Stipe. You want to fight Stipe for the interim belt? That's what Dana told me to tell you." And Blaydes is like, "Oh yeah, of course. That's who I wanted to fight. Stipe. Who's Cyril Gane, anyways? What are you talking about? Stipe is the guy I wanted to fight. Of course, yes.
Yeah,
I
want to
fight
squirrel.
Stipe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interim title, Stipe. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry, Dana. I didn't know that Cyril Gane was on the outs.
I didn't look at the cue card.
Yeah,
you know?
That was so weird.
That's the problem.
That was so weird. I want to fight Cyril Gane. But don't you want to fight Stipe? I guess. Say Stipe, you stupid fuck. Oh.
What?
Stipe.
You didn't see the kicking under the table, man.
Yeah, right?
If you could only see under that
DC,
table, man.
DC, like,
the
punches him in the balls. He's like, "Stipe, you stupid fuck. Say Stipe."
And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be exactly that. And on to the rest of the card, man, you look at Alexa Grasso getting her first submission in MMA or in the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a nice win, man. I really enjoyed that. That was it was a really good card, Dave.
I
really
Joanne,
enjoyed this card.
Joanne Wood or whatever, but she's just not anymore. She's just not.
Wood got like the
over.
Wood got dry, man.
It's
the
over.
Wood, the wood's
I think
dry.
She's 35. She's been fighting for a long time. It just didn't look good. She kind of crumpled in that fight. she folded quick. You know, I was like, oh, I don't know. She didn't look like she wanted to be there. I don't know. I felt bad for her in that
And
fight.
She got submitted, dude.
Quickly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's, very quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not a joke. Against Alexa, who's never submitted anybody, it just goes to show you that maybe I have a feeling, you know, she might – you know, she might be called out of the UFC. I mean, Ben Rothwell has actually been, like, released from the UFC this week.
Yeah, what the hell is
and
that?
And he has a fight. Yeah, that doesn't make sense because his fight was coming up in May, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
but
he was supposed to fight Gustafsson in May, and then the UFC just released Ben Rothwell. I don't know why. Maybe they have some sort of other reason.
There could be something else because Ben was, like, he's been around the game for so long. He's an exciting fighter when he fights. It just doesn't make sense. There's something behind it. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling Joanne Woodward might the same fate might happen to her shortly. You know, there's nothing. There was nothing impressive with her.
Speaking of fate, Kai Kara France has a world title shot in his future. He gets a decision win over Askar Askarov. A very close fight. I thought Askarov won a round or two, maybe. The third round was real tight. The crowd was on Kara France's side, and I think that helped the judges make their decision. It was a close one. I don't really have a problem.
I thought he won the first and third.
I don't have a huge problem with giving it to Kara France because the third was such a close round. But,
no, but look at the takedowns,
what does
man.
Look. Let me get my fucking sentence out.
It gets me mad.
What does piss me off is that, Askarov fucked up my parlay. Because I had Magny, Askarov, Grasso, and McMahon in my parlay. It would have paid out pretty nicely. But Askarov, that fight, so close. We lost it by maybe a takedown. And that's MMA sometimes. Askarov gets a takedown, you know, and can sit on Kara France for a minute or two. He probably wins that third round. It was a very close third round. I thought Askarov won the fight, but he didn't. So what are you going to do?
A lot of people thought the same thing, Dave. I thought
a lot of people didn't.
Third.
You know what I mean? A lot of people didn't.
I know.
So.
But I have a feeling the crowd like influenced the judges. It does it just doesn't make sense. And look, I like Kai, but Askarov was like throwing him on the mat, man. Like every round, like it doesn't make sense. I don't know. But either or, man, I like to see Askarov is not out of the picture. I have a feeling this is just a fight that he has to swallow, knowing that he thought he won as well. He'll be back. And listen, Kai fought okay, man. You know, but I thought Askarov won that.
Yeah, but
Neil Magny, man.
Kai gets a quick win or a big win, and now I think he's going to get a title shot against Davison Figueiredo next. So it was really really big, and yeah, Neil Magny picked up a nice win after falling behind. He came back.
And he got a record as well out of that. He surpassed George St. Pierre for the most wins at welterweight. So that's impressive, man. And you think about Neil Magny, how many times are we on the cusp? Like, do we go with him, not go with him? He's like one of these fighters where he's breaking George's records. We're still unsure about going with him for the win, you know?
I went with him on my parlay. I knew he was going
to win. I did too. Yeah, I got him too. I had him on as well.
Yeah.
Sarah McMahon, was amazing.
Yeah, I convinced you and Fred on that one. That was all Dave.
You did.
You both picked her, but I convinced both of you. You were with Rosa before that, and then.
You're right. You convinced me, and I changed that pick. I looked into it, and you're absolutely right. So I was glad because my parlay was looking good up to that point. And I started off with Manon Fierot. So that was my first pick into that fight. I said that was my lock of the night. I was so sure about her. And she performed well, man. This is a name to remember for the future, man. Manon Fierot. She's not going to be in the prelims. She's good, man.
Hey, and speaking of Manon Fierot, we know somebody who fought her, Karine Laframboise, and she won the UAE Warriors Flyweight Championship last week. So congratulations to Karine with a very nice victory, getting the
submission win.
In the first round to become the new UAE Warriors women's flyweight champion. So that was very cool to see Karin get that win. So
listen, man, she fought Manon. She fought Manon, like you said, you know?
Yeah. She fought her in UAE Warriors.
Yeah. And the thing was, it was a great fight. They were like throwing down some heavy punches to each other in that fight. and Manon won that fight. But I was like, Corinne was like so impressive, even though she lost. I always say, if you look good in a loss, you still win. And
I think Corinne is UFC ready. I think she's ready for the
UFC.
Well,
you know what? She's definitely ready for the UFC. She was ready even before this championship win.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that she gets into the UFC, which I think is just around the corner. I'm sure they're in talks. There's a lot of rumors going on. And you know what? We had Corinne in from the beginning here on Ringside Report. We had her back in the radio show. You know, we had a lot of like, you know, a lot of support from us for Corinne. She loves our show. And you know what? If she gets into UFC, I like to get her back on our show to at least, you know, give her thoughts and whatnot. But her winning a belt is a major victory. To come into the UFC is notable, man. And this girl could be really, really impressive, man, at her division. And, you know, let's wish for the best. But I have a feeling in the next couple of weeks, man, we're going to hear Dana White saying, like, you know, a new fighter into the UFC, Corinne LaFrambois.
Yeah, I don't know. Dana will be talking about her, but that's nice wishful thinking. Here's Nate Diaz, who requested his release from the UFC a couple of days ago. I would like to be request to be released from the UFC. Dana White, Hunter, I apologize for asking online, but you don't give me a fight ASAP. I got shit to do. So there's Nate.
What the hell? What kind of shit do you have to do?
And then I think maybe he's retracted his his request for release because he says, thanks, Hunter and Dana, for new UFC gear. These pants need bigger pockets, though. So they sent them some new stuff. So, you know, I think he's back in the UFC. I don't know. You never know with Nate Diaz. And you never know what you're going to get on Ringside Report MMA. Let's hear from our man, Angelo, who's on the line. You can give us a call, by the way, if you want
nice.
To. If you want to call us, you can. If you're a member of the team like Angelo is, like Patrick is, you can call us up and be part of the show. You support the Ringside Report Network. You become a member. Join.ringsidereport.net. Join.ringsidereport.net. $5 a month. You support the channel. And that means you can come on the show, just like Angelo has,
Hot lips,
done now. What's up, Angelo?
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, bud?
I talk to you more than I talk to AJ these days.
Yeah, you do, man. I come on to the wrestling show. I just happen to like log in because I'm doing all kinds of shit. All I hear is like Angelo talking. I'm like, Angelo's on all the time, man.
Yeah.
We should get him like a camera and that's it.
It's a Dave and Angelo show now.
That's
with,
it, man.
With AJ's the DJ. Guest. AJ's the guest. It's just me and Angelo running the show.
I'm done, man. I'm gonna get stalked and slapped, man.
Yeah, you're gonna get
so
Will
what'd you
Smith.
Think about that?
You're gonna get Will Smith right in the face, AJ.
And you know what's beautiful? Listen to this. Listen to this, Angelo. He really did a beautiful Stockton slap because when Will Smith came in, he didn't come in like one of the French slaps like this. Tacks. That wasn't it. He came from his waist all the way down, lifted up, wham, and continued through. That was the perfect Stockton slap. I've seen
and
Diaz throw that
no
slap.
Follow through. No follow through
in
the slap.
Through, man.
If that was a perfect slap, he would have moved the man off of his feet. Chris Rock
is tiny,
weighs 120 pounds. This guy didn't move. He didn't move. His feet didn't wobble. Unbelievable.
You know why? Because it was pride, man.
You know what? If you hit somebody with their hands, look, if I hit Chris Rock with a slap, he would have went down. If Chris Rock doesn't know I'm coming and I hit him with an open hand slap, that guy's going down faster than you can say John Stossel.
But Dave,
you don't know who I'm
it.
Talking well, about, but John Stossel was a guy who started saying, oh, I think this pro wrestling stuff's phony. And then Dr. D, David Schultz, you probably have seen the clip. He said, oh, yeah, you think it's phony? How's that? Hurrah! That's an open hand slap. How's that for phony? And the guy's down on the mat. That's called an open hand slap. And I'm like, hell yeah. And, you know, I wish Dr. D. David Schultz could step in there and show Will Smith how to do it, how to do an open hand slap that'll put a little man like John Stossel or Chris Rock down. Unbelievable. I can't believe it was real. It felt fake to me. Angelo, the slap heard round the world, brother. Was it real or was it a work?
To me, it looked real, man.
It looked fake to me at first, but now the more people are talking about it and the aftermath of it all, it seems like people are treating it like it's real, but I just can't buy it. There's so much about it that seems fake to me.
Mind you, people are kind of divided. No one really knows if it was real or fake.
Yeah,
like they're kind of split down the middle.
To me,
I don't know about you guys.
That's it. That's what I've seen. You know, a lot of people think it's fake. A lot of people think it's real. And I'm kind of torn.
That was the beginning, Dave.
I'm torn now. No. I think more people think it's real now. When it first happened, people thought it was fake, and I thought it was fake too. But if you think about it, you know, I've seen a lot of pro wrestling, and a lot of times when you know you're going to take a slap to the face, you put your hands behind your back and you hold them there. You hold one hand because the instinct when you know you're about to get hit is to put your hand to block it. When you know the slap is coming, you put your hands up. You know, when somebody's coming to hit you, the natural reaction would be to kind of just fling your hand out there to see if you can defend yourself in any kind of way. So to negate that natural reaction in pro wrestling when people are taking an intentional slap to the face, a lot of the times they'll hold their hands behind their back and take it like that so that they don't react to get hit, to block the hit. And that's exactly what Chris Rock did. He stood there with his hands behind his back with his chin out, hit me, and he clenched his jaw even, and people were saying, oh, he's smiling. I don't know if he's smiling or he's clenching his jaw, to be honest, to, you know, to take
like
the blow.
Nah, man.
It seems fishy to me. Why, you know, they said, Will Smith was asked to leave, but he refused. Well, fucking no. Tell him he's got to then. I don't know. And, you know, Chris Rock isn't pressing any charges. Chris Rock isn't pressing charges. There's no lawsuits being laid down here.
Hold on a second.
What's that about?
Wait, hold on a second.
What did Angelo say?
What he thinks of the slap.
Yeah, AJ. Okay.
So listen to this. I just want to give you an update right now. It came in an update from like Hollywood. It says that the Academy. Straight from Hollywood. The Academy didn't ask Will Smith to leave after the slap, so that's bullshit. I knew that the Oscars would never tell Will Smith. They're saying that they never asked Will Smith to leave.
So
no,
you can get up. So this is what you're telling me. This is why This is why I don't understand. You could get up and you could slap a guy and go back and sit down and it's all good? You're allowed to
it's
do
all
that
about
now?
Power and money, man. Hollywood style, man. Wow. But listen to this. I'm going to tell you something. In the beginning, man, people thought maybe it was fake. Me and Dave were having a debate back and forth. Dave was saying it was fake. I was saying it was real just by the way the guy's head moved and everything. And what really convinced me that it was real was it wasn't just the slap where I think Chris Rock was like thinking that Will Smith was going to come up and hug him or some joke because it was such a subtle joke. It wasn't like that offensive. I get more offensive jokes thrown at me on Ringside Report than anyone. But the thing is, you
don't
see me going over to Dave's and like,
that's true.
You know, think about it. But Angelo, you know what I'm saying is when you're in the public eye and you're on a stage with actors and comedians and whatnot, that's the world of that business. It's like if you're in a wrestling ring, you're going to get slammed. If you're in a boxing ring, you're going to get punched. If you're on a jiu-jitsu match, a mat, you're going to get submitted. If you don't think otherwise, you're fucked up. And you're at the Oscars. Everybody gets grilled. But there was nothing there that was so offensive because the fact was is that whatever her name, Jada Pink or whatever her name is, she's very open about
Jada
her.
Pink? Jada Pink?
Pinkett, whatever her name
Jada
is, man.
Pinkett.
Close enough.
Jada Pink. I like Jada Pink.
I like Jabba. Listen, I'm going to tell you. Listen, Jabba has got a problem, man. She's open about everything, relationships, aloe pizza, and all the rest of the stuff that goes with
pizza.
Her. But I'm going to tell you something. But the thing is
aloe pizza? I'm losing
pizza.
My hair.
You want pizza? Do you want half pepperoni or a little bit of pepperoni? Listen, what freaked me out, Angelo, was this, is that when Will Smith sat down and then he started mouthing off and throwing out every swear word you can think, that's when I realized it was real. Because, you know, a lot of times when people like, get pissed off, it's got to be like, you know, like, there was nothing political about his statement. There was nothing based on racism or something where he would deserve a slap. You know, it was just like some weird joke. And if you could see the video footage, you could see, like, Will Smith laughing at the joke. He was actually laughing with his head cocked back. And then all of a sudden,
But Jada wasn't laughing.
Yeah, like the Zoolander, like, you know, like, remember?
As soon as G.I. Jane was mentioned, that's when I think things turned.
No, but he was laughing. He was laughing at that joke. No, but he was laughing at that joke, Angelo. He was laughing at the G.I. Jane, which is a pretty good-looking character, to be honest. But I think after he was laughing and then he looked over at his wife and she was rolling her eyes, just like in the movie Zoolander. Remember there was that magic word from Mugatu? Mugatu! Kill Mugatu! I think she said something to him, and in his brain, it just, like, sizzled. He walked up on stage like he thought he was in a movie. I swear to God, the guy thought he was up in a movie.
It's crazy.
And gave the five finger slap.
I can't believe it. Between I can't believe that's real. I'm starting to think it's real, and I cannot believe that it was real. How does this motherfucker think he could get up on stage and just slap Chris Rock and it's all good? Next year, I want Joe Rogan to host the Oscars. And I want him to roast everybody. Let Will Smith do that to Joe Rogan. See if Joe Rogan doesn't do one of those spinning kicks and knock the guy's head off his neck. Huh? Let's get The Rock out there. Let's get the Brahma Bull to host the Oscars. Let's see Will Smith try to do that to The Rock. Take a rock bottom people's elbow. If you smell.
Listen, man. Listen, this is the problem with Will Smith. You've been in Hollywood since you were 19 years old. You forgot about reality, man. I don't care who you are, man. It has nothing to do with anything but, like, money, man. This guy is worth like $300-400 million. He owns a house of about $40 million. He lives a life that is very different. He thinks that shit, you know, he really thinks he could get away with it on international television.
His wife has sex with other men.
Yeah, man. And you got a problem.
She does. She does.
She did. It's true.
Then they talked about it on her little show. She's got this show, Red Table Talk. You guys know about this? I'm sure AJ's a regular viewer of Red Table Talk, right? That's real
very
popular.
Open about her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very open about her relationship with a bunch of dudes. And, you know, she talks to Will about it, and he's got to feel all sorts of ways about that. I don't know. And, who is Jada anyways? What is she famous for? Like, I know Will Smith. He's Men in Black. He's Wild Wild West. We know Will Smith. He's the Fresh Prince. He's been in a bunch of hits. What the hell has Jada ever done? Who is Jada? Why do we give... This is something that I never thought about Jada. I never ever gave Jada Pinkett Smith any thought because why would I? She's Will Smith's wife. Who gives a shit, you know? But now that everybody's thinking about Jada and her sensitive attitude about alopecia and Will Smith, and apparently Jada told Will, like, he can't make any public statements about this until they do it on her show, Red Table Talk, pal. And it's like, who the hell is this lady? What is her deal? What has she ever done? I haven't seen her in any kind of movie. She was in Gotham. What's Gotham? Johnny North says she was in Gotham. So she has been in some TV shows.
She's also in the Matrix series.
She's in the Matrix series? In the movies?
Well, Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Resurrection, Matrix Revolution.
Huh. I had no idea.
Dude, is she and I, like, seriously? Like, honestly,
is she Keanu Reeves? Is Will Smith married to Keanu Reeves? What are you talking about? The only guy I know from the Matrix is Keanu Reeves. I don't know these other people. But I believe you.
Listen, man. Chris Rock needed a Keanu Reeves Matrix kind of move, man. Because when you look at it, it's unfortunate that, number one, I was looking down at the Gracie breakdown. They have it down the best. Rule number one, never keep your hands behind your back. That's a first,
never.
Man.
Of
and
course.
That's the thing.
That's
rule number
thing.
One, never keep it out. You know, rule number two, make sure that you have, like, you know, a distance between you and, like, a Will Smith coming at you.
That's right.
You know. Even if he has a Bible in his hands, keep that hand out because you never know. He might give you the Stockton Bible slap.
It's
but
like
the thing
Chael
is this,
Sonnen.
Man.
You remember Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva on The Ultimate Fighter? When Wanderlei's like, I'm going to kill you, my friend, you know? And then Wanderlei gets all like in his face and Chael's like, I can't let you get this close because he knows that if he gets too close, Wanderlei's going to throw hands and he might get hit. So Chael's like, I can't let you get this close. So he grabs him and he fucking takes him down. He took him down in the middle of the Ultimate Fighter Brazil gym. It's a classic moment. But before he does it, he goes, I can't let you get this close. And that That, my friends, is how you defend yourself from an aggressive person coming at you. Do not let them get close. And if they do get within striking range, my rule is always control the wrists. That is really the best way to do it. And I have done it a couple of times when idiots in the world have decided to come upon me and try to fight me. And you know what? I didn't actually have to fight them because they came up to me. They got close. You know what I mean? When a guy gets in your face, I don't let a guy get in my face. If a guy gets close enough where he could throw a hand and hit me with it, I have grabbed a man's wrists. And then, you know, just, you know, AJ, you could double wrist control, right? Double wrist control. And usually the man just goes limp because they don't, then they realize, uh-oh, I'm in a fight with somebody that's real. They feel the strength. You know what I'm saying? The guy goes limp and they back away.
You got to make them feel the strength,
man. But that's all you got to do. And that's really what Chris Rock needed to do, you know? Chris Rock, you never let Will Smith get that close. If he gets that close, you double wrist control that motherfucker so that if you're controlling his wrist, if he comes up for a strike, you could control it. You could defend it. You could take him down. You could break his arm. Defend yourself.
Man, you know what? You got a point, man. As soon as you can start smelling that aqua velva, like, right in front of you,
grab the wrist.
Danger zone.
Why allow yourself to be in a danger zone? Why not just grab the guy's wrists, and if he fights back, well, fucking get double unders and take him down.
Or you get dirty, man, and punch him in the throat and cocoa bunt him, like in wrestling. Cocoa bunt. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The thing with Will Smith, fucking cocoa bun, man, always works.
Yeah.
Always works.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have a little headache for a couple of days, but it's better than,
not
like, you know, being
right
on the ground.
Not if you do it
not
right.
Not if you do it right.
You got a hard noggin.
Just make sure. I got a hard head, man. I'm Italian. We're hard
head. I used
head
to play Actually rugby, knows. Eh? I used to play rugby in high school, and you know what a scrum is? You know when they kind of have the whole guys pushing? I'd be in the front. I was in the front line of a scrum. I was a hooker, okay? And then I would headbutt, and there's another guy. What? Was I what? I was very cheap. Cheap tactics. Let's not talk about it. I would headbutt the guy in the scrum on the side because I could, and it was fun. Headbutt
people.
Well,
that's what you do in rugby.
It's fun to headbutt people.
Sure, man, and that's the thing. You can honestly say that between Will Smith and Chris Rock, I love Chris Rock, one of my favorite comedians of all time. The guy was awesome. And you know what? I'm going to give him a lot of credit because he was professional to carry on, you know, with the slap. Most people would have went local. But the thing is, you can tell that both of these guys are actors. They're not. They have no ounce of, like, being in the real life. Because a real guy that would got slapped, like, in the streets, anywhere, like, just in normal life, you would probably react to that. You know, it's just that
it was
Chris
so
Rock
weird.
Never.
That's why
just,
I thought it was fake.
Never had to encounter. Yeah,
that's why I thought it was fake. Because
life, Dave.
I know. That's why I thought it was fake. Because to me, if a man, if you insult a man's wife and he runs up on you, you don't put your hands behind your back. You kind of defend yourself because you expect violence. To me, if I made a joke about a man's wife and then he ran up on the stage that I was on, I'd be, you know, not keeping my hands behind my back at the very least. I would just have my hands out just in case. But that's not what happened. And also, if a man insults my wife and I go and slap him, I'm not going to turn around and go back to my seat and then talk shit. I'm going to slap him. I'm going to talk shit right in his face. And I'm going to slap him again, maybe. And maybe
Stockton style.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, if you get into a confrontation with a dude and you slap him in the face, you stand over him for a couple of minutes and you shit talk him. You bark a bit. That's not what Will Smith did. I was surprised because that's not how a man acts. Neither man acted how men that I know usually act. It was bizarre. It was the behavior of this weak Hollywood shit. I was,
but that's
like,
what
that's
it
why
is,
I thought it was fake. That's why I thought it was fake, because it was all so performative and keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth, little bitch. What a punk.
But listen, Dave, and you got a good point. You know what the problem with these guys? These guys live on the screen. I go to a movie and I go watch, like, Men in Black or whatever. I'm in line waiting for my popcorn and all that kind of shit. And then you got some guy that decides he's going to cut in line. What do you think is going to happen? Shit's going to roll, man. If you're, like, I'm telling you, you're going to get slapped not only by one person, by many people. You just don't cut line. That's normal life.
Yeah.
But these guys don't live that life. They're delusional, man. And you know what? I feel bad in some sense for Will Smith. I think the guy needs some help. But overall, it's embarrassing for Chris Rock to get slapped. The worst thing that you can ever get is,
so
is to be slapped. You know, in front of, like, the world, in front of his family,
that's
like,
why you
kids,
sue
whatever.
Him. You got to get some retribution.
But he handled it as best as he could, guys.
Yeah, but don't you think he should sue him now?
Worldwide television.
Yeah. Sure. What are you going to do? He was the bigger man. He didn't attack him. It is what it is. Will Smith looks like an asshole. But don't you think Chris Rock should sue him for every penny he's got?
Chris Rock, you know what he said? He said that he just doesn't want to. He doesn't want the hassle. The guy is just a guy that doesn't want to continue.
It's worth it.
You know what? Jim Carrey came out and he said he'd sue him. $200 million bananas, man, right off the bat.
He should.
You know what? That's Jim Carrey.
He should.
He says that,
I like
for $200 million.
You know, a great man once said, AJ, I'm going to quote a brilliant thinker of our time, okay? Will Smith.
Go for it.
Ain't got a cuss in his raps to sell records. Well, I do. So fuck him and fuck you too. That's it. All right? And you know who said that? The great Marshall Mathers in The Real Slim Shady. It's one of the lines.
Jesus.
You know The Real Slim Shady? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Will Smith ain't got a cuss in his raps to sell records. Well, I do. So fuck him and fuck you too. You know? You think I give a damn about a Grammy? Right? You know what I'm saying.
Crazy, man.
Also, Violence runs in that Will Smith family. His Uncle Phil would toss Jazz out of the house every episode. Just the violence in that family. Where do you think Will Smith learned it? Uncle Phil was throwing poor Jazz.
Yeah, I wonder from
just
who.
Fly, right? He learned it from Uncle Phil. He's throwing Jazz out of that house. Jazz is going flying. Rawr! It's always the same scene for some reason. I don't know how they did that. But, you know, violence obviously ran rampant in that home. What do you think happened to the first Aunt Viv? Isn't that suspicious? There's one Aunt Viv, then all of a sudden, the second Aunt Viv comes. Uncle Phil killed Aunt Viv, then married another woman named Vivian, and told the family to shut the fuck up about it. And they all did, because they're scared of Uncle Phil. They think, oh, I might be next. That's what happened.
This is your mom, and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, this is your new mom now. Shut the fuck up. I'm Uncle Phil.
You're right, man.
I'm a judge. Man. I am the law. You know what I mean? He's like a judge in the show. He's the law. He's a bad guy, Uncle Phil, and he taught Will all the violence.
You think you're bad in West Philly?
Yeah. Man. You don't know shit about Uncle Phil. I'm going to kill my wife. I'm gonna marry a new woman named Vivian. No one's going to say shit about it. And next season, everybody's going to act normal. I don't know why Uncle Phil sounds like Vince McMahon, but he does now. Damn it, pal. I'm Uncle Phil. Fuck you. All right?
Listen, man.
Angelo. Angelo, thanks for calling, man. It's been good talking to you.
Where's man?
Stockton slap. Oh, you just gave him a slap, the poor guy.
Oh, yeah.
I got a question for you real quick. Are you going to watch the draw tomorrow for the World Cup?
Yeah, man. And listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You know, since my Italian team is gone, and I'm happy that Canada is, like, there, you know, I'm wearing my Roma shirt. This is going to be my rest in peace shirt for, like, the Italian national team in memory, even though it's, like, you know, the club team. But I'm going to be going for, like, my new team, man, and I'm going to start wearing their shirt. It's called Ronaldo, man. I'm going for Team Portugal. Team Portugal all the way, man.
Why not
I
Canada?
Hope they win. What are you talking about? I liked Canada, but would I rather see Ronaldo win the World Cup? Damn right, man. I know Freddie would agree with me. Angelo.
Might be his last chance also. Yeah.
That's why, man. I want to see Ronaldo win a World Cup. He deserves it, man. This guy is, like, in my opinion, the best soccer player that ever played the game. And that's a big thing, man. We're talking Pele, Maradona, man. Maradona was my dad's favorite. My dad got a chance to see Maradona play live. You know, the greatest player, man. You can say whatever you want. Beckham, yeah, he was a great player, whatever.
Zidane.
But Ronaldo.
Zidane. Best
Zidane,
ever.
Zidane, a great player, man.
Best,
no,
best
not the
ever.
Best. He's no Ronaldo, man.
Yeah,
Ronaldo is
Ronaldo,
the greatest player. Messi, you know. Sorry, what did you say, Angelo?
But the way Zidane went out, you know, that was his last match, just giving
it happens.
His opponent a headbutt.
That's respect, brother. That's what we're talking about. If goddamn Zidane headbutted Chris Rock, he'd still be in the hospital. All right, Zidane's a real man.
Good Lord.
That's right.
You needed a Zidane at the Oscars. That's what you needed,
Zidane,
man.
Zidane would have smashed everybody. Zidane
and
is the best.
And one quick thing before I go. You mentioned earlier about Blades asking for a fight with Ciryl Gane.
Yeah.
I hope Ciryl Gane gives him the business.
I mean, it would be a good fight, you know, but obviously wrestling is tough for Ciryl. He had problems with Francis's wrestling there. Blades is a hell of a wrestler. Like, that's a good challenge for Ciryl. I think he's up for it, but it's an interesting fight, and it's not easy. Ciryl doesn't have easy fights from here on in. Every fight he's going to have is going to be against a guy with a ton of skill, and it's going to be tricky. You know, that Ngannou fight didn't go his way.
Chances, man.
Yeah, the Ngannou fight didn't go his way, and now, you know, I think he's going to have some tough fights. I think he'll win them, but it's not going to be easy, and staying in France, I don't know. Are you going to get your wrestling? Are you going to get your wrestling up to snuff staying in France? I don't know. Especially at a heavyweight level. At a heavyweight level, are you going to get the bodies and the reps wrestling in France? Maybe you got some guys you're bringing over from Russia that can help you, and I hope for Cyril's sake he has that. But if he doesn't, well, good luck.
Look, I absolutely agree with you, man. You know, wrestling is the key thing, man. You know, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. I do wrestling. I love wrestling. But in MMA, jiu-jitsu is not enough. You need wrestling. You need wrestling to open the door and jiu-jitsu to close that door.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Even when I look at Mackenzie Dern, and I love Mackenzie Dern, man. Like, you know, honestly, man, if I was with the Mackenzie Dern family, I would be telling them straight off that she needs to do a lot more wrestling. She doesn't have any wrestling, man. Her wrestling takedowns are at 10%. She is so low, but she's a jiu-jitsu champion. She's fought some of the biggest, baddest women in jiu-jitsu and beat. But the thing is, in MMA, man, if she wants to climb to the top, she needs to start putting her skills into a wrestling camp, pure wrestling. And she's done the boxing thing. She's got the jiu-jitsu, but she doesn't have wrestling. And the same thing with Ciryl Gane. And I agree with you, Dave. Ciryl needs to be in some kind of gym in the Midwest or in Russia, in Dagestan. I don't care where it is. He needs to be with killers, because if he gets that ingredient, when he meets up Ngannou next, it's going to be a different result. And again, he fought really, really well against Ngannou. Even though he lost, Ngannou had to do everything he could to win. And it came close, man. He came close to losing. But if he gets his wrestling, man, he's going to beat him.
I think Ciryl Gane needs to go get himself to San Jose, California, find himself a former heavyweight champion by the name of Daniel Cormier, and figure out everything that he knows. That's a guy I would seek.
I agree.
I would go see DC.
Totally agree.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. And you know what? It's not to take away from the camp from the Paris team. They're phenomenal, man.
They
produce some great fighters.
But,
you know, but
it's MMA, man, and there's holes in the game, and you got to fix those holes, you know?
I agree, man. I agree.
I just don't know if they can do it in France. I don't know. I haven't seen that level of wrestling that you need to be at the top level in MMA out of really anybody from Western Europe. Ever, really.
Look, you know, like even jiu-jitsu, man, when you look at like jiu-jitsu teams in France and whatnot, it's still relatively
striking.
Young.
They've got it down. England, France, you know, Germany,
Sabat,
places like that.
Boxing.
They've got striking.
Yeah.
They're wrestling, they're jiu-jitsu. It's not where it needs to be at an international level to compete. That's just the facts in those countries, just where it is, you know?
And that's a fact, and you're absolutely right, man. And you're right. When it comes to the striking game, when you look at kickboxing and Savate and whatever, Muay Thai, I mean, it's pretty strong in like those parts of the world. But you're right, wrestling and jiu-jitsu was not. And we can see that, like, you know, I've seen so many guys coming in from France, coming to like even Canada or Brazil, trying to get their jiu-jitsu game like at a higher level. And then they go back to France and they teach that and whatnot. But, you know, imagine like the worst wrestler in Dagestan would come here and destroy everybody.
Well, that's it. Exactly. And it's just, you know, the level is higher over there and the level is weaker in some other places. Angelo, again, man, thank you for calling. We'll talk to you again.
Angelo!
You're very welcome.
Hi, Lips.
There he is.
There, guys.
See you, Angelo. My brother.
There it is. And that's it, AJ. I'm done. I am done. We talked to Angelo. We talked about Will Smith. We talked about wrestling and jujitsu in France. I think we've covered the whole.
We talked George St. Pierre's talking. We did everything, man.
Sure. We're good, eh? We're good.
Ben Rothwell gone.
I got a big
the only thing to talk about.
No, I'm done. I got a big weekend. I'm talking WrestleMania all weekend. We're doing the WrestleMania preview tomorrow night at 10 p.m. after SmackDown. Going to be back here Saturday night after WrestleMania, Sunday night after WrestleMania. So we've got a big weekend coming up for WrestleMania. There's... So we're going to be on after WrestleMania both nights, Saturday and Sunday and Friday night as well. I got my main man here. My main man here is going to tell me that the show is over. He's got his yope. What kind of yope you got?
Zevi, what's up, buddy?
Good night to everybody.
Man, his hair is getting like so much.
There he is. All right, say good night. Say show's over.
Ask him who's going to win WrestleMania. Wait, who's going to win WrestleMania?
Who's AJ wants to know who's going to win the matches at WrestleMania? Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, that's a good pick.
Whoa.
Who else, AJ? Ronda Rousey or Charlotte Flair?
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, that's a good pick.
Yes.
How about Bianca Belair or Sasha Banks?
Bianca Belair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, wow. It's Bianca Belair or Becky Lynch, sorry.
Bianca Belair.
Super Bianca chat. Belair Super still, yeah.
Yeah.
Ray and Dominic versus Miz and Logan Paul.
Ray and Dominic.
Okay, Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin.
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre?
Yeah.
Who's going to be Seth Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania?
I don't know.
You think Cody Rhodes?
I think so.
You think he'll beat Cody?
Maybe.
Or Cody will beat him? How about Edge and AJ Styles? Who's winning?
AJ Styles.
All right. And that's it. Good night, everybody. I'll preview WrestleMania with Johnny North tomorrow, and I'll give you my picks and Johnny's picks. Oh, don't pull them off.
Go, Johnny!
All right, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, AJ.
Goodnight, bud.
Say goodnight, Johnny.
Love
Johnny
you.
Watching too.
Goodnight, Johnny.
All right. Goodnight, everybody. Goodnight, say
Johnny.
Goodnight to Angelo.
Goodnight, Angelo.
Say thanks for thanks for the super chat, Angelo.
Thanks for the super chat.
There you go. And Angelo's now the super chat leader. Tell him he's the leader. All right, you're the leader. Good night, everybody.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years. Go to ringsidereport.net/support to find out more ways to support the channel.